Well, welcome back to Gospel Life, where we are smack dab in the middle of the memorable moment season. That's right. You see, in an effort to keep the main thing of the gospel, the main thing in our lives, we are pressing into and expanding on some key quotes and, well, just portions of wisdom that can direct our energies to further engaging in what we call gospel life. Now, we call them memorable moments because though they most often occur infrequently and without warning, the impact they generate is most often, well, let me tell you, it's astounding. These memorable moments often happen as you and I are reading a book or even scanning an article or perhaps listening to a talk or sermon or even as we're engaged in a conversation. And at just the right time, God opens our ears and awakens our minds to a key bit of truth that makes all the effort of reading and listening so worthwhile. You see that? That is a memorable moment. Now, our memorable moment for today actually took root in my life about 43 years ago. Oh, yeah. This one has been simmering on the stove of my mind and heart for over four decades. So let me set the scene for you. It was my senior year in college, and one of my professors approached me and asked if I would be interested in doing a senior thesis. Now, for those perhaps unfamiliar with the world of academia, senior thesis is simply an extensive project or paper undertaken in one's senior year as an opportunity to delve more deeply into a subject of interest that's usually related to their major. Now, I want to be clear, being asked to do a senior thesis was an honor. The offer was not extended to just anyone who was about to graduate, and so when asked, oh, let me tell you, I was leaning in with a fair amount of senior year pride. But as I probed a bit into what was required to complete this, my professor was blunt. Mark, if you do this, you need to remember that this will be your part-time job. I want to be clear, this will take a lot, if not most, of your free time. You'll have to be focused and committed to get it done because not every senior who starts finishes. Let me tell you, that was sobering. Part-time job? I mean, I already had a part-time job on campus. And then most of my free time? Well, as a leader in the Christian Fellowship on campus, most of my free time, well, was already invested in the work of the gospel. And I recall looking at the professor and asking just one final question. I said, "Professor, not to be rude, but what does doing a senior thesis get me? I mean, what's the reward of all the effort?" And you know what? I can still remember his answer. "Well," he said, "you get to have the words 'with honors' printed next to your name in the booklet that everyone will be given on graduation day." Now, let me tell you, as I walked back to my dorm that day, yeah, we hadn't yet learned to call them residence halls, I kept replaying the conversation in my mind. And one thought kept bugging me. All of that work for two words and a printed program? Then I remember thinking, oh, but such an honor. I mean, not everyone is asked. And would it be just so cool for everyone to read Mark Fodale with honors? Well, my next step was to ask a friend of mine from the fellowship for advice. And what he said to me that day led to this most enduring, memorable moment. Because he reminded me that there are two things that last in the world, people and the Word of God. And if we're not investing in those things, well, we're investing in the wrong things. And let me tell you, I'll be honest, a gospel light bulb went off in my heart and my mind that day. Only two things last, people and the Word of God. See, that's it. And so those two words with honors, oh, they'd be quickly forgotten. Those graduation programs with my name and honored lights, oh, honestly, they'd be fuel for the burn pile within a day or so. And I invested most of my free time in it, senior thesis. Well, I was convinced it would have been shelved and forgotten before I even handed in my rented cap and gown. But investing in people with and through the Word of God, that was making deposits for eternity. You know, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So within days of that most memorable conversation, I met up with my prof and I politely told him that a senior thesis would not be part of my senior year schedule. And then I recommitted myself to the work of ministry and investing in eternal things. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying that you should or shouldn't do a senior project or thesis if the prospect of one is put before you. I'm not at all saying that full-time vocational ministry is the only real way to go in life. And I'm not saying that if you're not investing directly in people constantly and engaged in Bible study regularly, that you're wasting your time by storing up treasures on earth. No, really, I'm not saying those things at all. Okay, Fodale, so what are you saying? Well, simply this. The reminder that only two things last, people in the Word of God, is a much-needed gut check on our vision for our lives and our labors day by day, no matter who you are or what you do. You see, you and I need to regularly ask and honestly answer this question. Is what I am doing fueled by a vision of eternity? You know, here's another way to say it. Do the priorities of Christ's kingdom, people and his word, somehow, in some way, map onto the priorities of my life? In all that you and I are doing or not doing, are we storing up treasures in heaven? And friends, that goes for a student engaged in studies and campus life, or a mom discipling and training young kids, or a marketplace worker employing their skills out of love for God and neighbor, or a retiree using their newfound freedom and accumulated wisdom to make deposits for eternity, or a full-time campus missionary seeking to impact the next generation for Jesus. That's right, two things last, people in the Word of God. That may seem simplistic and a bit overstated, but you know what? I think it heads us in a really good direction. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes much the same argument when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, well, then the builder will receive a reward. But if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet he'll be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Listen, friends, you and I follow a Savior who invested his life into things that would last. The great shepherd of the sheep regularly, even now, speaks to us through his word, and he is at work in us day by day, moment by moment, until he brings us home to glory. In fact, he once declared, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, wow. Talk about an enduring investment. And now, by his grace and with his spirit, we had the privilege to live and lead gospel lives, to make sure that in all of our doing and being and working and resting and relating and parenting and studying and exercising and spring cleaning, that the two things that will last, people and the Word of God, are front and center in our motivations and our affections. You know, in the early 1900s, Charles Thomas Studd, known more popularly as C.T. Studd, gave up a lucrative career and worldwide fame as a star cricketer in England to become a full-time missionary to reach unreached peoples with an organization called the Worldwide Evangelism Crusade. Some years before his death, Studd sat down and composed a poem to compel his generation Some years before his death, Studd sat down and composed a poem to compel his generation to invest in things here on earth with a vision of heaven always in their mind. His words and challenge ring true today. So let me close with a few verses. He wrote, "Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind, would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, this still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." That's right, only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, your will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, it was worth it all. Because only one life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.